Hello, this is Eddie Duke. Welcome to the weekly podcast at Panther Creek Baptist Church. You know, Jesus Christ is an amazing person. As I look at our culture today, I'm convinced the absolute only hope for this world in which we live is Jesus Christ. And every week, I will introduce you to messages that will communicate this hope that we have in Christ. I'm thankful that you've taken the time to catch us here this week. It means a lot to me that you would tune in, and I would love to hear from you. And now, here is this week's broadcast. Right, our passage today that I want to read from is Matthew chapter 8, beginning with verse 28. It says, "When he had come to the other side, to the country of the Gadarenes, there met him two demon-possessed men coming out of the tombs, exceedingly fierce, so that no one could pass that way. And suddenly they cried out, saying, 'What have we to do with you, Jesus, you Son of God? Have you come here to torment us before the time?'" Verse 30 says, "Now a good way off from them there was a herd of many swine feeding. So the demons begged him, saying, 'If you cast us out, permit us to go away into the herd of swine.'" And verse 32 says, "And he said to them, 'Go.' So when they had come out, they went into the herd of swine, and suddenly the whole herd of swine ran violently down the steep place into the sea and perished in the water. Then those who kept them fled, and they went away into the city and told everything, including what had happened to the demon-possessed men. And behold, the whole city came out to meet Jesus. And when they saw him, they begged him to depart from their region." All right. Well, again, if you have your Bibles, stay with me to Matthew chapter 8. Matthew chapter 8. Now, I realize here this morning that that there is a lot going on in this passage. Actually, a lot of times, honestly, we as pastors tend to stay away from passages like this. And there's a reason for that, but so this morning, I'm going to stay in the shallow end of the pool, if you don't mind. I'm not going to go very deep here this morning, but Wednesday, since there's a lot that we could talk about in this passage, Wednesday, we're going to go a little deeper. So we're going to continue looking at this Wednesday night, since we won't have services tonight, but I want to let you know, yeah, we're going to kind of look in the surface of this passage today, but on Wednesday, we're going to get a little deeper into it. And I mentioned that a lot of times we do stay away from passages like this. This is kind of a challenging passage. And the reason for that is really two extremes. There's on the far right extreme probably is people like Bill Maher. You know, they make fun of Christians because of this reason. They say, you know what, you believe in demons. You believe in angels. You believe in things like this. You know, and they kind of laugh at us. And so we say, you know what, I'm just going to stay away from even talking about that because I don't want to be humiliated, I don't want to be laughed at. And we tend to stay away from things like this for that reason. There's another reason why, just to the other extreme, is the fact that Hollywood has taken this topic and they've really turned it into something surreal. You know, you still think of movies that you've watched in the past, maybe like Exorcist or Omen, and you think about, when you think about demons, you think about the devil, you're really kind of scared of that topic, and you really don't want to talk about it at all. So we kind of shy away from that. When we do things like that, the devil has accomplished his goal. He has done exactly what he wanted to do, because here's why demons and the devil, this is their mission. Their mission is to keep us, to destroy our fellowship with God. And as we're going forward, as we're progressing forward, they always operate like that. That's exactly what they do. Now, Wednesday night, we're going to talk more about this because, you know, in the Bible, there's no such thing as demon possession. And you say, Eddie, you just read that. I know. But in the Greek, there's never a word called demon possession. It's demonized. It means that you're under the influence of a demon. 20 times in the New Testament, that it says just that. It never says demon possessed. Could we have demons in our life? Could we be influenced by demons in some way? Absolutely. So today, I want us to look at how we get free from that influence of demons, because this is exactly what Satan wants to do. He plays it like this, that if he can inhibit or destroy our fellowship with God, that's what he wants to do. And think about it. Really think about it. I look at the year that we've had, and I realize, if we look back at the past 6 years, actually, the past 6 years ago, we had a vision. We had a vision that God was going to show us his faithfulness, and we were going to follow God here. And for 6 years, we had all kinds of distractions. We had all kinds of things that held up, you know. But we are enjoying now what is the result of following God and staying focused on Him. And at the beginning of this year, if you remember, I believe with all my heart that God gave me a vision as pastor for Panther Creek Baptist Church, and that vision was PCBC 2020. As we look at the next 3 years before the year 2020, I want us to have 2020 vision on seeing Jesus. Because in John chapter 20, verse 20, it says, when they saw Jesus, they were filled with joy. And so ever since the beginning of the year, that's what we've tried to do. How are we going to see Jesus? Well, we're going to see Jesus when we look at how Jesus responded to the same things we face in life. And when we respond like Jesus responds, then we're going to see Jesus in those things. But I got to tell you, since the first of the year, it has been a very, very difficult year. It has been a hard year in so many ways. I almost started crying about Ken. I want you to know I'm an emotional mess. Now, I know a big reason for that. Lisa said I was sobbing yesterday morning. I know the big reason for that. The big reason for that is I've got a daughter that's getting married in about a month. And I'm not saying that Jared's the devil, but I'm saying that, here's what I'm saying. I'm saying that whenever we get a focus on wanting to see Jesus, the devil's going to be there every step of the way as a distraction. I look back on this year, and I'm not kidding on this, mentally, emotionally, physically, I can't think of any time in my ministry that I preached on Sunday morning in as much pain as I've been in on some of the Sunday mornings. I can't think any time in all my ministry where I preached on Sunday morning where I've been sicker than anything on Sunday morning. I've never seen this happen before in my ministry, but it's happening now. And I know the reason for that. The reason for that is because we have a vision. The reason for that is because we have a focus. And every step of the way, Satan is going to try to prevent that from happening. So how do we break free from the influence of the demons in our life? Well, there's four ways that I want us to look at here. Again, in Matthew chapter 8, verses 30, beginning with verse 28, that we're going to look at today. The first way, the first thing that we need to do is we need to immediately cry out to Jesus. Immediately cry out to Jesus. So in Mark's account of this story, this is what Mark said. In Mark chapter 5, verse 6, he says, when he saw Jesus from a distance, he ran and fell on his knees in front of him. So the first thing that he did when he had the influence of a demon in his life, what did he do? He ran and came to Jesus. That is what we need to do. There's at least one couple in this audience right now that I know is big Third Day fans, Brad and Miranda. And Third Day has a song that I just love, and that song is called Cry Out to Jesus. And I want to read to you some of the lyrics. The lyrics go like this. There is hope for the helpless, rest for the weary, love for the broken heart. There is grace and forgiveness, mercy and healing. He'll meet you wherever you are. Cry out to Jesus. For the ones who can't break the addictions and chains, you try to give up, but you come back again. Just remember that you're not alone in your shame and your suffering. To the widow who suffers from being alone, wiping the tears from her eyes. For the children around the world without a home, say a prayer tonight. There is hope for the helpless, rest for the weary, love for the broken heart. There is grace and forgiveness, mercy and healing. He'll meet you wherever you are. Cry out to Jesus. The first thing that we need to do when we want to get away from these influences that are demons in our life is we need to cry out to Jesus. But the second thing that we need to do, and we see it with these two men, the second thing that they did was they ran to Jesus. I mean, they got near to Jesus. If we want to get away from these sins that just keep dogging us, you may have any of those where you just have these sins in your life and you just want to get away from them and they just keep coming, you know, and you ask for forgiveness and you think everything's going to be okay for a week and it just keeps coming back over and over. Have you ever wanted just to break free from that? Have you ever wanted just to claim victory from that? Here's the way we do it. We need to draw near to God. Draw near to God. I share in the Sunday school class here this morning that there's a theological principle that goes along with this. And the theological principle is called the proximity principle. And it is so simple, but the minute I say it, you're going to say, yeah, that's exactly what's happened in my life. You're going to know it's true. If you want to break free from these sins that just dog you, if you want to break free from the demons that just keep nipping at your heels, if you want to break free from these, this is exactly what you need to do. Remember the proximity principle, and this is it. The closer we get to God, the farther we get from the devil. The closer we get to God, the farther we get from the devil. And that has been so true in my life. As I get close to God through Bible study, as I get close to God through prayer, as I get close to God through serving Him in obedience, guess what happens? The closer I get to God, the farther I get from Satan. But guess what? The opposite is true as well. The proximity principle also says this: the farther we get from God, the closer we get to who? You're right. The closer we get to the devil. The farther we get from God, the closer we get to the devil. So the Bible says in James chapter 4, verses 7 through 8, it says, submit to God and resist the Satan, and he will flee from you. Draw near to God, and he will draw near to you. If we get closer to God, we're going to get farther from the devil. There's a third thing that we need to do, and that's this. We need to reject every thought that we have of temptation. Every thought that we have. Here's one of the things that we need to understand. I know it's been said over and over, and you've heard this saying before. How many have heard this saying? The devil made me do it. The devil made me do it. Here's one thing we need to understand. The devil cannot make you do anything. The devil and his demons have never been able to make anybody do anything. But here's how they operate. They plant that thought in your mind that you act upon. I love Billy Graham. Billy Graham has always said this. He said, you know what? You can't keep a bird from flying over your head, but you can keep it from nesting. For those of you who have hair, you can't keep it from nesting in your hair. And what did he mean by that? He meant this. You know what? We can't keep from seeing the things that we see in this world. In our culture, you're just turning the TV channel and you see something on the screen. We can't help but see some of the things that we're exposed to in this world, but we can keep from acting on them. We can keep from entertaining those thoughts, and that's exactly what we need to remember. We need to stay away from that, because the minute we begin to entertain, we go right down to that influence demonically in our lives. You probably remember, I guess I can admit this, Linda, it was one of my favorite comic strips when it was out. It was Kathy. Can I say that? I love the comic strip Kathy. She had four guilts in her life, if you remember that comic strip when it was out. The guilts that she had in her life was her job, it was work, it was food, it was love, relationships, and the last one was her mom. And these were the guilty things in her life that she always felt guilty about. You know, she was always battling. One of the things that she was really battling was her diet, wanting to stay away from food. And if you remember, there's one comic strip that had Kathy in it, and this is how it began. Kathy gets in her car, and she's heading down. She says, you know what, I'm just going to go for a drive, but I will not drive past the grocery store. And then in the next frame, it says, I'll drive past the grocery store, but I won't go in. And then in the next frame, you see her going into the grocery store, and she says, I'll go into the grocery store, but I won't go down the aisle that has all the Halloween candy. And then the next scene, she's going down the aisle with the Halloween candy, and she says, I'll go down the aisle with the Halloween candy, but I won't even look at the candy. And then she says, you know what? I'll look at the candy, but I won't taste it. And then the next frame, I'll taste the candy, but I won't eat it. And then in the very last frame, you see Kathy with all this candy and tearing off the wrappers, stuffing it in her mouth, and all she says is, eat, 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 eat. You know, that was funny. It was a comic strip. You know, I didn't make that up. I mean, there really is. But you know what? We laugh at that after I try to encourage you to laugh. We laugh at that. But here's the thing about that comic strip. It's so true, because that's how temptation works. You know what? I'll go for a drive, but I won't go past the grocery store. I'll go in the grocery store, but I won't go down the aisle. I'll go down the aisle, but I won't look at the candy. You know, when we begin to entertain these thoughts, the Bible says in 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 5, we need to take every thought captive to the obedience of Jesus Christ. And what that means is we can't even entertain this. That's how Satan gets influence over our life, when we begin to entertain these thoughts of temptation. There's one final thing that we need to remember here, as if we're going to get rid and get away from these sins that just continue to dog us, and that is this: we need to claim victory that is found in Jesus Christ. It is for freedom that Jesus Christ has set us free. It is for freedom that Jesus Christ has set us free. Paul would say, you know what? Jesus Christ has set you free from the bondage of sin. Why are you continuing to submit to the bondage of sin? On this 4th of July weekend, remember, It is for freedom that Jesus Christ has set us free. As we get ready to close here and have our time of invitation, I want us to remember that. Maybe there's somebody here this morning who needs to know that. Man, we're battling. We are in it thick. We are in it up to our neck, you know, and we just can't seem to break out. We are just in bondage, and we are struggling, and we are struggling, and we are struggling. Right now, Jesus wants you to know it's for freedom that I came. It's for freedom that I've set you free. Maybe you're like me, you know, maybe you feel like, I'm going in this direction. I want to do this, but boy, I'm getting beaten down. Boy, it's hard. I believe right now with all my heart that we need to commit to say, I will not back up. I will go forward. I will not give Satan one inch. I don't care how I feel. I don't care what's going on. I will continue to pursue Jesus Christ. Hey, this is Eddie Duke, pastor at Panther Creek Baptist Church. I hope this message was a blessing for you today. I want to let you know that we here at Panther Creek are a small church that are looking to make a big impact on our neighbors in our community with the love of Christ. If you're looking for a church home with which to serve and connect with, we would love to have you join us on Sunday mornings at 9:30 for Sunday school and 10:30 for church. We'd also love to have you join us on Sunday evenings at 6:30, but if you can't join us, we hope you'll tune in every week and listen to us. Have a fantastic day.